podcast. Oh, what a day.
So much to recap in the podcast today. It's going to be a lot of fun. But first, a few clues.
The clues. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay. R&B Fridays. Red. Goal. Northeast. Fremantle Dockers HQ. Turn the page. Zoom, zoom.
Turn the page is not a clue.
No, sorry.
But they are all the clues for Mix 94.5's chosen one. So put them all together, and when we are back on Tuesday, you can call up and win money.
Hope so.
Yep. Good luck. Hopefully you are Mix 94.5's the chosen one, and enjoy the podcast. Big day today celebrating the Baron of Beckenham.
Thank you.
Matt.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes
day.
Yes, good morning, Perth, and good morning, you two, but a special good morning to the big man on his yes day, Matty Dutinsky, everybody.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Matty, yes day to celebrate you not smoking for 10 weeks.
Yep.
Everything today is about you. Everything you ask for, Pete and I are saying yes.
Everything.
I'm overwhelmed with gratitude, and I'm slightly overwhelmed because what the listeners can't see is that I'm looking at myself twice over.
Pete and I have dressed up as Matt Dutinsky. That's why our voices might sound... It's hard to speak through a beard,
They have
isn't
a
it?
Skull caps. They have baseball caps. They have glasses. They have a beard. And the only thing I let the side down on is that they wore my jeans and black T-shirt and thongs uniform, which for the first day in 5 years I didn't wear.
I can't believe it. What you the dress hell? The same every single day. And the one day we come in dressed as you and we thought this will look like a hilarious picture with the three of us, you're dressed in a completely different outfit we never see you in.
I sort of came in my wear your pajamas to work day because I thought, well, I don't have to do anything.
Well, it's your day.
Oh, thank you.
There's a lot of great things on the way. A few surprises for you this morning.
Yes.
But, of course, it is your yes day. So anything you like, mate, you ask for it and we will make it happen.
Well, you know, I didn't want to ask too much of you because I already feel overwhelmed. But I was driving into work this morning and I had to reach behind to go get something from the back seat.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, my God, my car is a disgrace.
Right.
So if you guys could do anything about that, that'd be really handy.
Clean your car.
Give it a once-over. You know me. It doesn't have. You don't have to, like, COVID clean it.
We can do it in this double song.
Yeah,
okay.
We can do
it. We'd have to do it in the songs across the morning.
Well, it depends how dirty your car is. I mean, I haven't seen the inside of your car, so I don't know if this double song set will actually be enough.
Pete, anyway. I'm a superficial guy. As long as it superficially looks better than it did before, then I'm happy.
Standing on the outside of it, I mean, with respect to him, it just looks like it's going to be dirty inside.
Okay. Old Fanta cans.
Yuck.
What's going on in the back?
How long do you reckon that towel's been there for?
Oh, God. Oh, there's dirty... Oh, my God, there's undies.
Bull dust. Don't pick them up. Oh, yuck. Why would you pick them up?
There's dirty tissues. Oh.
Florence's hair is in here. Oh, everywhere. No.
It smells like Matt.
It really does smell like
it. It does smell like it. It's how I imagine Matt would smell if he was living in this car for a while.
Look at this. There's napkins. Oh, God, there's more towels.
Yuck, man.
Oh, look at it. There's sand all over the chair.
There is. Oh, come on, Matt. Just get started.
Oh, God, that all came out of the vacuum cleaner.
Just get started. Oh, yep, go.
I can feel air coming out. Is that working?
Oh. Yeah, go on. Get into the corners. Oh, something just crawled on me. Oh, there we go. That's it.
But look, it did a good job, though.
Yeah, this is the cleanest his car looks like it's been in about 20 years.
Oh, he puts his family in this car.
Yep.
Steppy D and T go in this car. They must be like, oh, man.
I have an idea.
What's your idea?
We just burn the car and claim it on insurance. That was a traumatic experience.
Yeah, and believe me, Steppy D and T do not go in that car. It's me and Florence.
He was the club's number two draft pick in 1998 and these days calls the shots as head coach. Part of the Mix 94.5 family, please welcome Fremantle Dockers coach, Justin Longmuir.
Justin joins us ahead of the game, the Len Hall tribute match tomorrow night at Optus Stadium versus North Melbourne. And I just have to set the scene here
because you're currently sitting next to one Matt Dutinsky, and it's his yes day, and he's currently having his back and shoulders massaged by Jason from Mile Yoga
just
at Wellbeats.
Just a little lower, buddy. Just a little lower. That's it. Really work on that knot.
On his yes day. How are you feeling? Is this a little bit awkward?
I see a lot of massages going on
of course.
At the club. Yes. And our players get 2 a week that we schedule. They probably get more outside of that to keep them, you know, nice and ready for the next game. But I don't think anything they do is as strenuous as what Matt does. So he looks very comfortable.
Have you ever had to have a really serious conversation with one of your players whilst they're being massaged?
No, I don't. No, they're usually occupied on their phones while they do that.
Yeah, right.
Watching someone else play COD or something like that, 2K.
This isn't awkward at all. I'm just extremely jealous. Now, Justin, if this was your yes day, because of course we are celebrating Matt not smoking for 10 weeks, so we're giving him anything he asks for today, what would be on your list?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I wouldn't mind a massage, to be honest. Maybe Matt can double team and do me at the same time.
Anytime you want, buddy. Well, one of the things you'd like to do is beat North Melbourne.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we would. It was a good win on the weekend. It'd be nice to get 3 in a row. North are improving each week. They're a really young team. We expect them to come over with a lot of enthusiasm and take it right up to us, though.
Mm-hmm.
As Pete said, it's the 25th annual Len Hall game. It's an opportunity for us to commemorate the Anzacs that have past and present. It's something that we take really seriously as a club, so it's going to be a great day, a great night. Get out there and commemorate the Anzacs, but then come and celebrate us. So we're imploring on all our fans to get there and fill Optus.
Justin, Adelaide in Adelaide is a tough task, even tougher when they're having the season that they're having. Mate, did you say something to them at halftime? Because halftime has traditionally been the moment where we've seen them, I guess, sort of fall away over their last couple of away games, but they came out absolutely firing.
Yeah, my message was probably more about sticking to the process. It'll click. There's a few things we're doing in the front half that weren't helping us score, so we tried to fix those things up. We took 11 marks inside 50 in the second half, which helped us hit the scoreboard clearly. We kicked 61 points in the second half. So largely it was around maintaining the effort because we were doing a lot right. We just couldn't score. And you're right, it is hard to go to Adelaide against any team and win. I think that's David Mundy's second win at the Adelaide Oval when he's played there, you know, probably 20 times in all up. So it is a tough place. We've found it hard in the past. It was a good win.
Sorry, just on David Mundy really quickly. He's in the top 5 players in the competition right now at the ripe old age of 35. What's going on with this bloke?
I don't know. It's one of those things. Sometimes as you get older, players who rely on their speed lose their speed and it takes a lot away from the game. He's never really relied on his speed. He's relied on his ability inside traffic to test the tackle and avoid tackles. His agility is first class still. He works really hard on his game. So as you get older, you should get better, and he is.
Yeah.
When you talk about a young team, when you say they were a young side, like when does it not become a young side? I hear it so often that I'm like, well, how many players of experience do you have to have in the team before it's considered not a young team?
It's an interesting one. I think around about 50 to 60, maybe more sometimes, games allows you to be a consistent AFL footballer. Mm-hmm. Up until then, you live with the doubts of, am I in the team every week? Am I going to perform every week?
Mm-hmm.
Christian Petraka is one that I've watched on from afar. He plays for Melbourne. He's number 2 draft pick, came into the league with a lot of talent and has had some really good games early, but just that consistency lacked. And I reckon he was about 80 games before he became a real consistent top line week in, week out AFL footballer. And Dusty was probably the same. So, North are real young though. They're like the youngest team in the comp at the moment. They're clearly building for the future. But as I said before, they're improving week in, week out and have become a lot more consistent. And they only went down by 30 points at Geelong to Geelong in Geelong last week, so that's a pretty admirable effort.
I did have a question about the mids and how great they've been in and around the ball, but
Jason's just hit a really sweet spot in my lower back. So I just really want to say, how are you, man? You all right?
I'm not as relaxed as you at the moment, but all good.
Mate, the Len Hall tribute match, it's a fantastic night. 6:15 bounce down tomorrow night at Optus Stadium v North Melbourne. Get along and see it. Justin Longmuir, good luck against the Roos.
Thank you.
It's Matt's yesterday. Oh,
yeah, it is.
I feel like a king.
Do you? Do you?
Oh, I've been massaged. From Jason from Mile Yoga and Wellbeing Studio in the city came and massaged me. Miss Maud's have brought breakfast.
Mm.
I feel like a king.
Oh, good.
In fact, from now on, I'd like you to refer to me as the Baron of Beckenham. No more Matt. From now on, Baron of Beckenham.
Well, in the spirit of it being yes day,
yeah.
Pete and I have to say yes to all of your requests.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Baron of Beckenham.
Yes, my girl.
Your lordship.
Yes, my fair wench.
Oh, look, I tell you what, I guess, you know, this is about, I'm so happy that so far I've been able to give up the cigarettes for 10 weeks.
Not so far, that no, you have.
I have.
And, you've already quit.
You know, people know my story. It's not my first rodeo in giving up cigarettes or many other things that I've found myself addicted to over time. And I know that people are addicted to all kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, from alcohol to drugs to biting your nails to chocolate.
To food, yeah.
To all kinds of things. So indeed, some people are addicted to exercise.
Yes.
There's all kinds of addictions that we have to sort of deal with in this life. And I'd love to hear your stories of how you got through them.
Like, how'd you break a habit?
Yeah,
or...
I mean, particularly with those sort of quirkier ones. Like, people often look at you as a smoker and go, I can't understand how you could have done that to yourself. And I get that. I get that if you've never done it. But I also look at people who bite their poor nails down to the, is it the quick?
Yeah,
is that what you call it? And you think, how could you do that? But it becomes this sort of, you know, instinctive thing to do and you can't control it. And how do you conquer that?
All right. Well, the Baron has spoken. What habit did you break? We'd love to hear your stories this morning. We've got Paw Patrol tickets. We've got Fremantle Dockers and North Melbourne tickets.
You're not giving any of those away. If you call in today, you'll be getting a Edible Pets CD.
Are you going to give away your... Well, this is Matt's band.
I've never been able to sell them, so I thought...
Matt's band, Edible Pets.
My band, Edible Pets. You will be given a copy. There's not many out... Well, there are quite a few of them out there, but they're all in my garage. But you will get it. Written by the Baron of Beckenham himself, and Bang Mango calls me good mate.
Susan's on her way to Gin Gin, but has kindly called in. Good morning to you, Susan. What habit did you break?
Oh, it's a habit that I did only break for a short while and I'm still trying to break it. It's exercise.
Really?
Addicted to exercise.
Yeah, so in my teens, I was playing netball, indoor cricket, I was doing jazz ballet, and I was also doing Tempin bowling, and that was on a weekly basis. So when I wasn't playing netball, I was playing indoor cricket or something, or running or walking. And I only stopped when I started to have children, where I slowed down, because then I got them playing sports. So they were playing hockey, netball, basketball, tennis. And then I thought, oh, I'll give it a go too. So I was playing hockey, netball, basketball, and tennis.
Wow.
And then as I've gotten older, now I'm in my late 50s, between my 40s and my 50s, I actually tried to have a bit of a break, but my body didn't like it.
Yeah, right.
I ended up having aches and pains through my body, and really, I was actually diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and I thought, oh, this is not good. So I started walking, then I thought, oh, I'll give a bit of a swim, and then I met a guy, he's absolutely fantastic, he used to cycle, so I thought, I'll give that a go. So now I'm doing triathlons.
Of course you are, yes.
And Susan, you know, I'd imagine that's tough because people will think, oh, how rough, you're addicted to exercise, it's good for you. But actually, that any addiction like that is can be very debilitating on your life.
Absolutely.
Like it doesn't, your joints and your body doesn't want to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Kiara in Port Kennedy, good morning to you. What was the habit that you broke?
Yeah, hi guys, good morning. So when I was younger, I would walk down the street. And if I seen like a rubbish wrapper or a receipt or paper, I'd have to pick it up.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Not in so a kind of cleaning up the environment way, an internal, I need to do this.
Compulsion.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I'd walk around and I'd basically pick up other people's rubbish. And my mom back in the UK was like, you got to stop that, like, COVID tit now. And I was like, okay, yeah, better. And now my nephew actually tries to, like, when we go to the park and stuff, he'll try and pick up other people's rubbish, and my sister kills me for it.
Really?
Oh, and so this has been for your entire life, Kira, you've been doing that?
Yeah, basically since I was about 7 or 8. My mom dropped a wrapper apparently in the supermarket, and I was like, Mom, got to go back and pick it up. And I literally sat there by the rubbish, kicked a tantrum until she came back, and she didn't pick it up, but I did. And now I feel like if I walk away from the rubbish, I'll kick myself until I go back and pick it up.
Wow, there you go. Far out.
Full on, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's absolutely amazing.
Ian in Wangarra, talk to us about this habit that you broke, mate, because this sounds extraordinary.
I quit drugs and cigarettes at the same time.
Wow, mate. Oh. Well done.
And how you going, buddy?
Yeah, I've got full-time work now. I've been doing that for 6 months. You know, I've got 4 beautiful boys. I'm married. Got my own house.
Oh, wicked.
Awesome,
buddy.
Ian. So how long have you been clean?
2 years now.
Mate,
super.
What drug? What was it?
I did methamphetamine for 5 years.
Wow. And what was a standard week like for you, mate?
It would be good, and then it would be rough. You know, meth gives you your highs, and then it gives you your equal lows. But yeah, I was finding myself broke all the time. Mm. You know, I couldn't afford food, couldn't afford fuel, couldn't even afford nappies or anything like that. And yeah, I've got 4 boys under 6, and yeah, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna make the change. And yeah, I had my wife's help. I had my father-in-law's help. He was addicted too. We did it together.
Yep.
And yeah, so we quit meth and smoking at the same time.
How did you do that, Ian? Did you go cold turkey or did you get
We went cold turkey. No rehab, no anything like that. A big influence for me was Lego.
Really?
I've got about, I'd say, 5 grand worth of Lego Technic now, but I'd buy it, and or my wife would buy it for me, and I'd just purely concentrate on that. And also, I do karate now. I used to do it years and years ago, and yeah, I would say if it wasn't for the discipline from that, God knows where I'd be right now.
Ian, you know, I love hearing this because the amount of times I have spent $300 or $400 on Lego and my wife says, what a waste of money. I say to her, well, I could be spending it on drugs.
Yeah, that's it. And here we are.
Ian, congratulations.
Good for you, my friend.
Really happy to hear that. And a good inspirational story for people out there who might be listening and thinking, oh, I'm in that position, you know, dealing with that themselves.
Yep.
Good on you, mate.
What a great example for your boys too, buddy. Yeah. Well done.
And keep watching Channel 9 too, because we're about to do a Lego Masters thing where we'll be giving away cash and Lego.
You can't get me away from the TV when that's on.
Well, Sundays at 7, Mondays and Tuesdays at 7:30 on Channel 9. 9's going to love this, Jesus.
Yes.
Good on you. Good on you, Ian. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks for sharing your story this morning, mate.
You all get one of the Baron of Beckenham's Edible Pets CDs.
Oh, lovely. Woo!
Oh, mate.
You can go
straight in the pool room.
Yes.
I'd like you to now welcome in the goalkeeper for the Perth Glory.
I know who he is.
Liam Reddy is joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Liam. Come around, mate.
Come around there
to a microphone.
How are you going? Thank you. Good to see you. Got a jersey for you. Some tickets for our next home game next Friday.
Come on, jump on mic.
Liam Reddy. I've got myself.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you.
What
buddy.
A day, eh? Yesterday.
Oh, someone from the goalkeeping fraternity. Someone who understands me.
We're a different breed, aren't we? We are a different breed, yeah, definitely.
How are you, buddy?
I'm very good, thanks. Hopefully a little bit better if we can finally get a win this weekend away to Brisbane. But other than that, life's good.
Yeah, you've had an incredible career, haven't you? You've played in many, many clubs for Australia, but you also played in Iran, didn't you, at one point?
Yeah, I had 6 months in Iran, which was a really good experience, actually. It was a beautiful country.
Yeah.
People were friendly. I just didn't get paid, so I had to come home.
Oh, yeah, now that'll do it.
Well, Liam, we thought we have to get you in because Matt is a mad soccer fan. And wants to talk about it all the time. And I was I went to a few seasons of Glory Games because I got really into the game, but I don't know a lot about it. And Pete is likewise, doesn't know enough to riff with Matt. So we were like, well, the best thing we can do is get you in so you guys can have a decent
chat. Goalkeeper chat.
Because there's a lot going on in the world of soccer at the moment too.
There certainly is. I don't know how much our listeners want to hear about the European Super League. But I will tell you a story though, Liam, and I think you'll like this. So I grew up loving Manchester United and a guy called Gary Bailey, who was a South African actually, who played for United. And I just wanted to be a goalkeeper for Manchester United. And a few years ago, the Legends came out.
Yes, I was there for that game.
Okay, yeah. And I got to, oh yeah, because you played against them,
no,
right?
No, I didn't play. You didn't play? I'm not that old yet. But I went and watched.
Yeah, okay, and I got to train with them. Can you believe
what an experience.
It?
That would have been good, yeah.
Oh, so I had Brian Robson on my wall as a kid, and he was sort of the coach of the team. And I got in goal, and I've got guys like Carol Poborski, Ronnie Johnson, Dwight Yort firing them at me. It was the greatest moment of my life.
It would have been a great experience. Yeah, I think I remember that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
DT38 bring them out, and it was a really good thing for Perth. Obviously, Man United legends coming out, and they do it every year. Hopefully, yeah. I'm a Liverpool fan, so we probably don't mix well there. But it's definitely soccer in Perth is definitely flying.
And do you come from a background from European background?
No, I come from a rugby league family actually. Ah. So my dad played professional rugby league, and my brother played professional rugby league.
Really?
But we lived in the UK when he finished his career, and I got into football over there. So I was a big Liverpool fan, Bruce Grobbelaar.
Yes, yes. Another South African,
And then I came back home to Australia when I was 10 years old and just continued to play football, soccer. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, Baron. No, that's okay. No, this is, mate, it's your yesterday.
Liam and I should just go and, you know, have a coffee together.
Well, in fact, not so much a coffee, but you are going to go.
Oh.
Yes.
You're leaving the studio.
You are leaving the studio.
Okay.
Because on your yesterday.
You and Liam are going to go and have a kick.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, you are.
Let's see if you can score a one past me, huh?
Oh, you're on.
All right, mate. So you get out of here.
Okay.
So you've got those tickets, mate. You'll be off to catch the glory take on MacArthur.
And a jersey.
Next Friday, April 30, 7:40 at NIB Stadium. Can we bring in the next surprise for Matty's yesterday? Bring him in, ladies and gentlemen. This is Aaron. He is from Urban Barbershop. How's your beard feeling today, mate?
Oh, a bit rubbish. Hey, man. We met outside before. I wasn't sure why you were here.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron, step right up to the microphone there. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, we want to spoil Matt because he said he'd like to be pampered on his yes day.
Yep.
And he's been growing this beard for, a few years now, but he doesn't do anything with it.
I don't know what to do with it.
It looks a bit unkept.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can definitely do something there,
sure. Aaron's offered to come in here and clean up your beard a bit, give it a trim, give it a bit of love, take care of you, so that you're feeling your very best, Matty. Baron of Beckenham.
Well have saved my marriage.
Baron of Beckenham. I like that.
Now, mate, going back not that long ago, and I might be wrong, but it feels like maybe in the last 10 years that there's been a huge wellspring of things like barbershops, places to go and get their beards done. All of that. So is that the case?
Yeah, the man grooming's right up. Yeah, it's really good. So, I mean, like Subi's, when I first came here 15 years ago, I think there's 4 barbers. There's 12 now.
Yeah,
and we're all busy.
So. And what's the go? What's brought about this change for blokes, that all of a sudden there's that many blokes that want to get this stuff done, that there's, there is enough to go around?
I think you go back to probably Movember, that started a little bit of a facial hair kind of stuff.
Yep.
People wanted to groom that, and then the beards came in after that. So it's been great.
I think also too, men realising that it's okay to take care of yourselves.
True.
Okay to look after yourselves and also pamper yourself and make yourself feel good.
Yeah.
I think it's always been associated with something that just women do, and that's not the case.
And never before has there been more products for blokes. You just cannot keep up with it. It's ridiculous.
And I think when I started to lose my hair and I decided to just shave it, that without any facial hair at all, it does look like quite a blank
canvas.
You're
actually true. I've got 3 mates right now that are rocking your chrome dome.
Yes.
Yep. But the beards are coming out big and strong. So, it's definitely
that's the first time I've been
when you lose it up
curve,
at the top,
you
tend to grow here. So,
Yeah, exactly.
So, what do you think, looking at his face, Aaron, what do you think you can do with this quite recognizable beard?
I just think we just need to take off all the fluffy stuff off the bottom, grooming the sides a little bit, blend it into the top, and we'll be good.
Great.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, look
wicked.
Good. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Have you got products have you got? What's what have you got with you?
Look at this satchel of goodness.
It's great. great, isn't it? It is great.
It's like a big army bag full of tools.
To give you this at the end, but Sandy asked about some goodies.
Oh.
That's from a company called Organic for Men.
Organic for Men, a complete beard set.
Yep.
Thank you, man.
You've got a beard balm there, a beard oil, and a beard and a face wash.
Listen to that.
And you know why? Because Matt has a bit of a habit of constantly playing with his beard.
I do.
But in the microphone, it sounds like a scratchy
well,
thing.
Well, that'll soften it right up.
Right. Oh, wow. A bit of body and bounce.
Yeah, oh, perfect.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
well, your wife's going to be so happy.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. And you'll be able to smell the nice smells now after you quit smoking. So
yeah, really exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to get before and after shots. But Aaron from Urban Barbershop, Hay Street, Subiaco is where you'll find him. Over to you, mate. Get to work.
Thanks, mate. I will.
Arthur Leggett is a 102-year-old Second World War veteran, and his autobiography is called Don't Cry For Me. It's available online and it's in stores now, and Arthur has been lovely enough to join us on the phone this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, my friend.
Arthur, your book is called Don't Cry For Me. Why did you call it that?
Well, I'll start with you mentioned my age, and I've had a pretty good sort of a life. I know we all think of the old soldiers in the war, but I packed quite a lot into my life after the war, and I've got a good family. Life is just a piece of cake, and therefore, when I do fall off the perch, well, don't cry for me. I've had a fair crack of the whip.
Arthur, it's incredible that you are such a positive man with such a positive outlook. We know that you spent 4 years as a prisoner of Germany, and I'm of the understanding too, you know, you obviously would have seen some horrible things in that time. And I've read about the time when you left the camp and that you couldn't walk.
We had been locked up in one of those trains for 6 days and six nights without any sanitation or any other facilities. And we went downhill, of course, and I honestly thought I was going to die during that train journey.
Mm.
When we got to the main camp at Moosburg and we're told to get out of the carriage, well, I thought I'd just sit on the floor and jump down. Well, I hit the ground and I couldn't stand up. And I remember looking up at a snarling dog with a snarling German behind it. And anyway, a couple of my mates picked me up and put an arm around their shoulders, and we three of us walked into the camp that way.
We don't talk a lot about the European theatre of war, and I come from Polish stock, and I see that you were there in the northern Polish areas in the coal mines and then having to make an extraordinary journey across the Alps into Bavaria. The bitter cold of northern Europe must have been something to endure as well.
Yes, well, the Russians put on their big drive at the end of 1944, and we were in the road of that, and we were just up and marched 800 kilometres right across Europe.
God.
In the worst winter in about 50 years, and that was a rather horrendous experience, and food was scarce, and you just plodded along one foot after the other, day after day. And snow everywhere, snow not just on the ground, it was meters thick everywhere.
God.
And the roadway gradually it sticks to your boots, and your boot, the heat of your boots melt the snow and it saturates your boot and your sock. And at the end of the day, you take your boot off and pour the water out of it. And next morning, you belt your sock and your boot around to make them a little bit subtle to get on the march again. And, of course, you lived in the same clothes for 3 months. You never changed. You never had a washer. Well, no, I pushed a few cows out of the road to get at the carrots that they were eating. So things like that. Yeah, it was a bit rugged.
Anyways.
Right now we talk about, Arthur, so many conversations now about mental health, and you've experienced those hardships and that horror firsthand. How did you overcome those mental struggles? Are you just from a more stoic breed?
No, I got over it from the day I was liberated. I got over it because I just left it behind me.
Mm.
But unfortunately, well, there are people who just can't do that. They take it deep inside them, and well, we know the outcome.
Yeah.
Arthur, I can only imagine what the moment must have been like when you were told it's over, we're going to go home. But can you remember what it was like to land back on Australian turf and see your family again for the first time?
Oh, yes, that was quite an experience. Of course, we come home by ship, and there was a family waiting there for me. I remember quite distinctly going up to my mum and saying, well, here I am, Mum, I told you I'd be back one day. It just just took a little bit of time, that was all.
Wow, how extraordinary. Wow.
Oh, Arthur, can I ask you, what can we do to be like this at 102?
Well, one thing which I think helped, I'm a member of the Bush Poets and Yarn Spinners Association, and we recite poetry, we write poetry, and that makes you think and remember.
Yep.
You have also maintained a happy attitude towards life, irrespective of all the rotten things that you know are going on. You can't control them. You're not responsible for it. Therefore, you live your life in as happy a way as you can. And as I said earlier, I'm very fortunate with a wonderful family, and they all help you get along quite well.
Arthur Leggett, we appreciate your time this morning, mate, and with such honesty as well. Thank you so much for opening up to us. All the best to you, mate.
Good. Thanks very much for your good wishes, and I appreciate your attitude as well.
Matt.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Dave.
Now calling him the Baron of Beckenham by his request because it is your yes day, sir.
What a day you guys have given me, obviously, to congratulate me for not smoking for 10 weeks. And, yeah, I couldn't be more grateful.
Well, we are very happy you're a non-smoker.
Thank you. Sorry, I was waiting for that.
Sorry.
You did ask for those tracks.
I was late on that. late on that, yeah.
Well, one of the things that you asked us to do during the week that you said you wanted for yes day is that you didn't want to have to write the song of the week. Because you do that every week for us. You do write a recap of the week.
Yes, yes, I do.
Mm. What, am I playing something?
You play the laugh again.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God. Oh,
it's not even when he says anything funny.
Yeah, I'm so used to that.
No, I did. I wrote a song halfway through the week and I thought, well, that's me done, surely.
Well, Pete and I went above and beyond, I think.
Mm, really have. Yeah, like way above and beyond.
What a week, what a week, what a week.
Yeah. Hey!
We re-recorded the intro that you've hated for weeks.
Awesome work.
So you don't have to listen to that pitchy.
I really like it.
The What a Week song has been recorded.
Okay.
Has been written. Kim, you've done an amazing job, by the way. I'm just going to throw it out there. We just threw a little something together for you, mate. And here it is to celebrate your yes day in What a Week by us two, Kimber and Pete.
Hit it.
Yesterday, 10 weeks since you threw your smokes away. You weren't sure you'd quit for the whole day, but here you are, it's nearly May. Suddenly, your lungs are clearer and you've got white teeth. Your sense of smell is back and you can breathe. Non-smoking Matt is full of glee. Why you'd want to smoke, we don't know. Keep it at bay. Don't you go back now, or you'll smell like an ashtray. To be addicted, now you're clean. But if you start again, I swear we'll scream. In fact, we'll kick you off the team. Why you'd want to smoke, we don't know. Keep it at bay. Don't you go. Smoke again, this will repeat. Except you'll be saying yes to Kimber and Pete. Oh yes, day, revenge is sweet.
There you go, mate.
Wow. No kidding. Wow, that was brilliant.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
You know, we couldn't just leave you with the intro. We wrote the song as well.
That was superb. Yeah. Absolutely superb.
Matt.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Dave. Yes, 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 yes.
Of course, a little cheeky gift for you for doing so well with the quitting smoking, mate.
Oh, look, what a day. Thank you so much. I feel very, I'm full of gratitude this morning. I've got a family that love me and a work family that love me and have, you know, I feel very lucky.
Have you got anything you want to say to the people out there this morning who might be thinking, God, I've been trying to quit for a long time?
Oh, look, you know, I'm not going to sit and lecture anyone. You know, it's taken me ages to get to this point with this particular problem. Just keep on trying, because I guess everyone you don't have is better.
Yeah.
And the old thing about giving anything up is don't say forever, just say for today.
Just get through
take
that
it
day.
Day by day. Get through another day.
What a great message, mate. Yeah, yeah. All right. It has been a big morning, as you mentioned. Let's live it back.
Yes! Special good morning to the big man on his yes day, Matty Dytinski, everybody.
Oh, yes.
I've dressed up as Matt Dytinski. It's hard to speak through a beard,
isn't it?
They
have a skull cap, baseball caps, they have glasses, they have a beard.
Yes.
Oh, my God, my car is a disgrace.
Clean your car. Oh, God. Oh, there's dirty. Oh, my God, there's undies.
Oh, yuck. Why would you pick them up?
You asked for a pamper.
Yes. He's currently having his back and shoulders massaged.
Mike from Miss Maud's.
Oh. I've brought in some croissants, some strawberry tarts, cinnamon buns, and of course coffee. I feel like a king.
No, good.
In fact, from now on, I'd like you to refer to me as the Baron of Beckenham. Also, I'd quite like some kind of effect that every time I spoke, it sounded like it was the best thing ever said. Perfect. Thank
you.
Do you
want it?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay.
The goalkeeper for the Perth Glory.
I know who he is.
Liam Reddy is joining us this morning.
You and Liam are going to go and have a kick.
Oh, brilliant.
Let's see if you can score a one past me, huh?
Oh, you're on.
Aaron's offered to come in here and clean up your beard a bit. Give it a trim, give it a bit of love.
Just need to take off all the fluffy stuff off the bottom, groom in the sides a little bit, blend into the top and we'll be good. Yesterday.
10 weeks since you threw your smokes away. Wow. No kidding. Wow. That was brilliant.
Oh, mate, what a day.
What a day. Thank you, guys.
Good on you, mate. We're proud of you.
Thank you.
Stay the course.
Stay the course. Beat my-